Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 208, part one, harvest time. Today is Friday, August 19th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. We're located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you haven't joined Pastor Paul's club and you need food, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 and older, or you are disabled with proof, you can come in Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. You'll need to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. We have lots of food, so if you need food anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. You come to Pastor Paul's Club. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. And I just want to give a special shout-out and a thank you to the Sean Feinstein Foundation, who has helped Pastor Paul's for a number of years, 10, 15, lots of years, help donate to Pastor Paul's with his Feinstein match that occurs every April. And he's helped hunger partners throughout the U.S. for many years. A special thank you to you. We appreciate your support, who supported us before it became popular to support hunger issues. Thank you, Sean Feinstein Foundation in Rhode Island. Another special thank you to all you youth groups with YouthWorks who have come in this summer, who me and Pastor Paul have been able to work with. It's been great. What an encouragement you have been to Pastor Paul's Club. The work you've done is fantastic, and we're definitely going to be connecting on Facebook and at Pastor Paul's website. So we'll look for your pictures. I've got more than 300-400 pictures of you guys. And we'll see you on Flickr. Now, for Pastor Paul's podcast, this is the month of August, the hot month. Are we ready? Yes. Here are the messages. Peace, these eyes, harvest time, hunger and thirst. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Don't miss an episode. God bless you and have a great month of August.
Today's message is entitled Harvest Time. I went out on the street yesterday on the bread and the food run, You know, I'm seeing how badly we have neglected the word of the Lord. Go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel. I haven't really preached the gospel out there in the streets the way I should have. Remember when we were going out, and Dick, you were going down by the tracks. You had runs you made. And that ministry and those ministries we have sort of dry up, don't they? You probably take a, and I'm not pointing my finger at you because you were so involved, okay? So don't get offended. But anyway, these ministries sort of we set aside. Hang a sign upon my door, gone fishing. Don't we do that? Don't we all do that? Don't we go fishing? There's probably people out right now. They're bringing in their boats. They probably spend a month getting their boats and their tackle ready to go fishing. And they got to go up and work like dogs up there at the cabin so that all the relatives can come up and rob them the rest of the year, rob them of their money and peace, joy, tranquility, and so on that they bought the place for in the first place. Then they have to spend, without the relatives, tear down time, button up time. Now the relatives aren't around. Where have all the people gone? Long time they've been gone. And so we spend a lot of time getting ready to lay down. Then we lay down. Then we spend a lot of time getting up from laying down. Go ye out into the world and preach the gospel. Boy, this is the time to go out, not pull back. No, for the many people that have called me in my ministry. See, I started when I was 40 years old. And they've called me in my ministry during the 14 years I've been in it. And so now you know how old I am. And they'll say, Paul, pull back. But see, it's been so concentrated. My ministry has been so concentrated. And this ministry has been so concentrated. It's like we've been in it for 50 years. But it's not the time to pull back. Oh, but you're doing too much. You're burning the candle at both ends. How many know it's impossible to burn a candle at both ends? Slack up, one person told me. Just put his finger right in front of me. I am going to give you a word. Slack up. I tell you that because I love you. Well, I said, don't spit all over me saying it, okay? Turn the soup off. Shut the doors. Put the hobo bus on blocks, or you'll burn yourself out. Well, I'd rather burn out than dry up. Yeah, we all know, and the Bible points to all this, and the times point to it, which, of course, have to agree with the Bible. Know how close the end is. Now, listen, people, don't allow some sluggard to slow your witness down. Because wherever two or three sluggards are gathered together, there will always be a rocking chair, I should say a waterbed. They're standing on the word, the water. They're laying on it. Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Let me read that again. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers, are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest. Now, who is the Lord of the harvest? God is in charge. The Lord of the harvest now is speaking to us. Beseech him, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into the harvest. God, bring them in. Bring in some workers. The laborers are so few. I mean, no, even when you're in business, if no one shows up, you better be there. How many know that? When you're at your particular jobs, if someone doesn't show up, let's say that you're waiting tables, and the dishwasher doesn't show up, and a waitress doesn't show up, who gets stuck with those jobs? You do. Who gets stuck with mission works when people don't show up? Well, a few dedicated people. How many are hearing this? Well, are you complaining about it? No, not at all. All I'm saying is I don't want somebody to tell me to sit down. How about you? See, I'm a rebel by nature. What is that noise? Something wrong with the speakers? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers into the harvest. Now, Jesus is talking to you and me. Oh, we forgot to set up the radio audience. My goodness. The laborers are few. We can't do that. That's how I get through to the radio audience, right there. You say, well, you are nuts, just like they say. Well, Jesus is saying, please don't allow the crop to rot on the ground. Well, if I've ever learned a lesson on these scriptures, being in food ministry has really taught me what these scriptures really mean in their entirety, so as much as I can understand, about rotting crops. Jesus is saying a lot of labor and a lot of prep work has been done. You see the harvest out there. You see all these things that have been prepared before the foundation of the world was even founded. You see all those souls out there. Stop planning on and bring it in. How many know we do a lot of planning? Well, I've been planning on it. Planning on doing God's work. Oh, planning, huh? How would you like it if you ran a factory? What would happen if you told your boss? You're sitting down, and all of this material or whatever you do has to go out. Or you work for NSP. Or you're making cabinetry. Or you're in the rug business. Or you're in parts, automobile parts. And the owner of the factory comes in. Or you fly an airplane for someone. And you're just sitting there and they say, well, can't you see there's work to be done? Well, I'm planning on doing it someday. I'm planning. I'm praying about it. I'm believing for it. Well, you better get up and do it, Jack, or you're fired. Now, that's practical ministry. Now, maybe it isn't spiritual. Maybe I should say God. That's not the way I'm built. I like to get down to the nitty-gritty of the thing. I like to show you that being a Christian is being practical. But gaining practicality can sometimes practically kill you, but that's how you get practical. By observation, by experience, and by, I was going to say torture, but that wouldn't be the right word, persecution. Who put this down here below my pulpit, this big old cup? Well, that says so much. It fits in with the message. You should wear this as a helmet instead of drinking it. This is, it says coffee break on there. It holds about a gallon. Isn't that wild? Well, that's what a lot of us are on. One of these great big old, I don't want to run out of coffee break time things. Look at this. Just what I've always wanted. Well, really, you see a lot of times, well, when all the Christians go over to the Perkins, sit over there and talk about how spiritual they are, and they sit there for 4 hours, I think their waitress would do well to bring them a cup like this, so she doesn't have to listen to all their nonsense all the time. Oh, here they come. Get out the buckets. They leave about 14 cents in tips. But remember, Jesus says, you give your life to gain it. Now, what does that mean, give your life? It means, oh, maybe your reputation is your life. Don't we all want to look good? Oh, we would do anything to look good. Now, listen, let's say, like, if you were farming, would you sit down or take a vacation in the middle of a harvest? Would you? I woke up this morning. I've had this terrible car accident a few months ago. It cost me my life. And I have to do some kind of exercises. And so I got up and I was real stiff in here, see? So I have to do these things where you go straight out with your legs, you know, and back and forth like that. And I couldn't even get them out one time. I thought, oh my God. Well, you know how that feels because you've got sore back we're going to pray about. Okay. Oh. I said, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. This is not the time to get old. All right, a little later for getting old, all right? So I started, I did one, and I thought, oh, the pain is worse. Oh, that's proof I shouldn't do it. And then the second time I threw them out there, it was excruciating. Oh, I think I broke something. Oh, huh? And so the third time and the fourth, and it went away. We can always find an excuse in the middle of what we're doing to sit down. Well, let's take a break. Let's all take a break. Well, you know, that's the end of the work. That is the end of the work when you're working real hard and it's late at night, and if you take a break, you'll quit altogether. Thank you. But would you allow this crop to rot? How much more important, then, is the harvest of souls that God has already set up for you? So please don't come. You listening on the radio, call me and tell me I'm doing too much. A fellow came in the other day, and I think we had about four people here. We had some 600 people that came in to eat dinner. Right in the middle of all this, he said, brother, you're doing too much. I says, I know it. Take off that suit coat, tie it around your waist, and help me wait some of these tables. Brother, you didn't hear me. You're doing too much. Well, I says, well, then I'll sit down and you do it for me, would you? No, he says, I got into that myself. I thought I could feed the world. And I said, how long did you think that? For about 2 weeks? No, I says, I'm not trying to be cynical with you, but would you help me? Well, I would if I could, but I can't. You ever heard that? I should make a song out of that. I would if I could, but I can't. Uh-huh. I would if I could, but I can't. Huh? Now I said, brother, let me die in his service. Let me be misunderstood. Let me be hated in the house of my friends, which is scriptural, of course. Let me lose my life. And he looked at me. My reputation. I said, brother, can't you hear the cry of the hungry? Doesn't it just sort of get to your heart when you see people in different parts of the world that are starving to death? Only because of the lack of love and the people that think they're doing too much? Can't we hear the cry of the thirsty, and can't we see the need? And I said, I think we need to have Jesus shake us. The Bible does say, in the end, everything that will be shaken will be shaken. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Isn't that right? There's a song like that, isn't there? Didn't Elvis sing that or somebody? Yeah, well, I won't sing it because somebody on the radio will call me real worldly if I did. Oh, my, how worldly you are. Well, hey. We got to get down to grassroots, and we got to be realistic, and we got to see that there's needs out there. When I first came down here, and after I got down here, well, I had a mass exodus of 650, 700 people left. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Was I discouraged? Yes. I was real discouraged. It took a long call. Oh, yeah, we need to have Jesus wake us up. Let us not be talked into deadness and uselessness. You know what uselessness is? Uselessness is going to never-ending learning sessions. Oh, so-and-so is going to be in town today. Oh, this is a 3-day seminar. We just can't miss that. Let's go here. And then another. There's going to be another seminar, and that's in October. Oh, we're crossing wires here. We're crossing wires. Oh, how will we ever make it to all these seminars? I think we are so seminared out. How many are tired of seminars? How much do you have to learn just to go on out and meet the needs of people? But we love to go to retreats and to seminars, and we're always learning but never coming to know Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? And so here is the sermon right now for this very present day. Zephaniah 3:16 through 18 goes like this. In that day it shall be said in Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice with thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over thee with singing. And he goes on, and I will gather them that are sorrowful from the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Now, all the Holy Scripture here is full. All the Holy Scripture here is abiding in its inner meaning. Because as you draw from it, the Bible calls a springing well, you can draw from it over and over and over and over again. And it tastes the same, but a little different according to your circumstance every time you partake of it. It is, the Bible calls, a well springing up, everlasting, ever fresh, ever new, ever clear in thought. I mean, the fulfillment, I'm saying, of the divine promise is not the exhaustion of it. Have you ever thought that you have exhausted the Scripture, the well, the springing up of the Word? I heard that before. Well, you've never really heard a Scripture till you get into a tight place. Till you get into a place of dedication, until you get into a place of suffering. How many are hearing this? Now that Scripture, when you're really hungering and when you're really thirsting through a situation, becomes alive to you and you drink it greedily. Do you ever try to drink a glass of water after you've already had a gallon? Or a cup of coffee after you've had something like this? Doesn't mean much to you, does it? And if you continue on going to all these seminars, you're going to get confused. Huh? And you'll end up hugging your favorite pastime, sitting. Wow. Now, when we give one another a promise, and we keep it, let's say that we actually keep it, miracle of miracles. How many hearing this? Is everybody awake in here? Oh, there was a few that were sleeping. I seen you jump. Wake up! Isn't there a song like that? Wake up, you little sleepyhead. Now, if we give a person a promise and we actually keep it, well, we think, okay, I did my duty. Now we're even. I'm all through with you. Get out. Didn't I keep my promise? It's like a person come in, they said, you know what? I'm going to come in. And I thought this was forever and ever the way they said it. I am going to come in, and I am going to clean the sanctuary. I have been called to clean it. Wow, I said, that takes care of one problem. And I got greedy then. I said, would you mind then when you leave the sanctuary, catching the outer foyer, going down the steps and catching the bottom floor? And if you can, I don't want to force it on you, catch both toilets on either side. Thank you. No problem. They came in one time. Tight-lipped. And they have that, they kept their promise, but that was the end of it. One time, and I've never seen them since. But anyway, that is the end of that promise, isn't it? But it's not so with God. When He keeps His word, He keeps it forever and ever, and He keeps on a keeping on by keeping His word. You can use it over and over. It doesn't slacken. He's not slack in His promise. His arm has not been shortened that He can't reach you, no matter what. His promises, the Bible says, never run dry. I love you isn't sort of like a shallow, selfish thing. I give you life, and I give you life abundantly, and I give you life forever, eternal life in Christ Jesus. And oh, how people love to debate eternal security. Don't they? I mean, even great faith teachers will debate that. Now, if you're going to teach faith movement, well, then you better have eternal security in it, because that takes faith. That's the only way you can get it, is by the faith. But His love and His life and His word I'll give you life and give it to you abundantly, and I'll give it to you forever, doesn't fade. They never run dry. This promise we read from today is just as true and just as whole and just as perfect and just as challenging and just as full of grace. Wow. For all of us, as it was for Abe Lincoln, or Marilyn Monroe, or Clark Gable, or Onassis, or Oliver and Hardy, or Rodney Dangerfield, or any of us. I have used, and I am sure all of you have, these promises. And under all kinds of circumstances. And I do believe that the Scripture is a very classical example of how up-to-date our precious Heavenly Father is. Because it will give you peace whenever that you read it. If you read it 20 years ago, and if you read it now, 20 years from now, it always has the same effect. It has life-giving in it. So number one today, this scripture points out, it is a trying day for God's people. And it is right now. Scripture says they are sorrowful because things have happened in the solemn assembly. And the reproach thereof is a burden. And secondly, next we will look at a glorious consolation. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. What does that mean, in the midst of thee? It means around you, above you, beside you, betwixt you, under, about, above, betwixt, between. It means in the midst of your very being, in the midst of your molecules. He will save, it goes on. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wow. Can you imagine God rejoicing over you with singing? And then thirdly, we have here a brave conduct suggestion. A do this and live suggestion. An exercise of faith suggestion. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. What does that mean? In that day, and we are in that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. Now, there's a lot of fearful people around. Now, you can tell when there's a lot of fear around because people are sort of panicky. They're grouchy, they're uptight, they're mean. When you're driving, you can really tell what the world situation is. You get on the freeway, and here's a guy, and he wants to get around you, and he's on your bumper. You can see him back there just shaking his head. And you're going 65. As fast as my old car will go. He's behind you, and he's just like he's on the Indianapolis 500. You know, he's kind of shoving on you. He's waiting for the next curve so he can do one of the slingshots on you, you know. Huh? And it's almost like a whole lot of demons out there. And so here someone else comes around, passes him up. Now he's really mad. And oh my, the sign language we get out of this guy and the noises. Unreal. Huh? I was going into a place out here on, well, anyway, out in Bloomington. And I went to make a turn. There was nobody behind me, but this girl came up so fast. And so I'd already made my mind up to turn in. I was already turning in. So I didn't have my blinker on, see? She got out, and she was a really nice-looking young girl. She's probably in her 20s. And she got out of the car, and from across the parking lot, she yelled these obscenities and did hand motions that a sailor wouldn't do. And I looked over and I thought to myself, incredulous, unbelievable. And I thought to myself, praise God, she doesn't have a belt on with a hand grenade. That's the way I am. I'm sorry if I'm not spiritual enough for you folks listening, but that's what I got out of it, okay? I'm talking to my radio audience. Because she would have jerked it off her belt, pulled the pin, counted to 10, and thrown it. Hit the deck, you know. But all of that, so we're very close to the end, because men's hearts are troubled. People are fiending out and fading out all over the place. Wow. And so now verse 18. And we notice it is a very hard day for God's people. How many know it's a hard time for God's people right now? You know why? They're going to have to do the old scrap-a-roo. What's the old scrap-a-roo? That's taking all of their notes and all of their things and all of the things that they wrote, and they went to all these seminars. Oh, my God, they got all these notes, they got all these things, and they've written them down. They've been faithful to write down everything. And oh, they spent hours and hours and hours, and now they have to give all this over. Dump the junk time. It's the truth. And we don't want to do that because we get so knowledgeable in ourselves. And we just quote these scriptures. Oh, doesn't it say in so-and-so? And doesn't it say in so-and-so? Yes, yes, it does. Well, of course, yes, it does. And we go on and on and on and on. And God's saying, lay that all aside. Lay your burdens down. You're burdened with your own knowledge and your own understanding. And Jesus says, lean ye not upon your own understanding. And so we got all of these books and all of these tapes. I mean, thousands and thousands of them. And we got these little earphones on, and we drive to work with it, and we don't see anybody, we don't hear anybody, and people are dying all over. Hey, I'm right into John 3:16. Shut up! You know. Incredulous. Isn't it? And we become annoyed because we have to lay all the former things down. Well, gee, I got a lot of money tied up in that. I probably got about $20,000 in seminar teachings. I mean, the tapes are not cheap. Three tapes for $50, you know what I mean? Expensive, aren't they? I would never charge that. Well, your tapes ain't worth your $50 for three of them. Well, that's your opinion. I don't charge anything for them, by the way. People still don't take him, you say. Oh, shut up. Go ahead and laugh, radio audience. Don't get so serious. Don't take yourself so seriously. Nobody else does. Do people take you seriously? Never. Not unless you tell them you're going to give them something. Then they take you seriously. And that's what the world wants. They take it seriously when you preach the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. They believe you, and they all want some action out of you. Well, if you believe it, why don't you do it? The Psalm Assembly has fallen under a reproach. See, the Psalm Assemblies of Israel in that day were her glory. They were the festival days. But a reproach, the Bible said, had fallen upon the Psalm Assembly. And that is the way it is right now. Now, you probably saw this on TV or read about it, where the terrorists killed 25 Jews and 8 rabbis were in that group just the other day during a service. And isn't it a sad and terrible affliction when in our different assemblies the gospel light is so low in power, almost invisible, when all we do is sit on silken couches and converse back and forth how we were persecuted through the news media or the papers? Yes, Dr. So-and-so. What do you think about people persecuting us? And on and on. What a time waster. Who cares? The Bible says that you will be persecuted. It's a promise. I can promise you. Now, here's a promise people don't want to call. They say, oh, you're so negative. I mean, you just don't have to claim that. Well, Jesus could have said, I don't claim this cross, too. That would be negative, wouldn't it? That'd be kind of negative, wouldn't it? I mean, where's your believing? But we're into all this talking back and forth about what the world is doing to us. The world hates you. Hates your dirty guts, okay? Can't stand ya. Don't want a thing to do with you. But our light has become almost invisible. I mean, when Christians join in on a self-destruction course by character assassination, isn't that pretty close to the end time? I mean, the very clearness of our testimony is destroyed, let's say, by doubtful voices of fear and divisionary voices. And then the people become scattered. I think truth is lost in argument. Now, they asked Jesus, they said, Pontius Pilate says, well, what is the truth? Well, all truth was standing right there. Did you ever ask your kid to tell the truth? I want you to tell the truth, or you're not going to get out of your room. Now I want you all to tell the truth, you're not going to get out of this church. Now, I want you all to tell the truth, or we're going to strap you to your chair radio forever. Until you receive the truth. Well, what is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. Well, that's sort of vague. No, it's not vague. You follow Jesus Christ, all truth, and he'll lead you into truth. The truth will lead you into truth, and the truth will set you free, and the truth is, Jesus is the one, the truth, the way, and life. He's the one that will lead you into all truth. Truth is lost, I said, in argument, or it's lost in doctrine. Oh, my. I went into a church one time, and I won't even mention it, but it was a denominational church, which is great. And inside of this large room, said, Brother, I want to show you something. These are the doctrines of the church. The Bible is only this big. But the doctrines took up a whole wall. Boy, you guys are really something. And again, my brain started working. I didn't say anything. My brain started working. I thought that thought. I thought, look how little the Bible is. And look how these people had wrestled the scriptures to their own destruction. People aren't interested in their doctrines. They're interested in the Lord. We don't care if they wear these little beanies and long ugly dresses and these ugly laced-up shoes and jump in a flour barrel to make themselves as ugly as possible. We don't care about that. That isn't going to make you. There's as much lust under that long, ugly dress as there is under a miniskirt. Let's face it, it's the people you're dealing with. Say amen, somebody. How do you know that those people out there, the miniskirts, and all these people out there haven't been chosen before the foundation of the world was even founded? Now, if you have the thought that they haven't been, then you haven't been. Nope, God didn't come to save them. He came to save sinners. Well, you're saying you're not a sinner. Well, we won't see you in heaven, because the only thing that makes it to heaven is sinners, saved by grace. You just get off the elevator and say, what are they doing up here? Down you go. How many hearing this? Well, aren't we that way?
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was episode 208, part 1, Harvest Time. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You got to move. When the Lord